कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नमः विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने
कृष्णप्रसाय
नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी पश्चादेशतारिणी सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणी चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाध श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाध श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाध शिवसादि गौर भक्तवृंद चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाध श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद Rama Rama Hare 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 राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शैल प्रभुपाद की Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotra Shadashri Shriman Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Anandakodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Saho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Govindanand Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhani Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Madhurapuri Dham Ki Jagannathpuri Dham Ki Dwarakapuri Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki Yamuna Mai Ki Tulasi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Mishupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamini. Namaste Sarasudevam Gauravani Pajarine. Vishesha Shunyavani Pashatini Shadarine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Tumirandhasya Jnananjana Shalagaya Chakshurun Milidam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadatim Svapadandiyam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhudam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagalpade Govesha Gobiga Kanda Radha Kanda Namostude Taptaganjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prushabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchagal Padarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Parthaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavatam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Graditam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitam Pradavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvam Anusandhadami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshinim Namostu Devyasa Vishala Buddhe Pullara Vindayata Vatra Netra Yenatvaya Bharata Taila Purnam Prajwalido Jnanamaya Pradivam Prabanna Parijadaya Totra Vetraiga Panaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gita Amrita Duhe Namam Sarvopanishadogaho Dugdha Gopala Nandanam Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gidamritam Mahat Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardhanam Devagi Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum Bhishma Drona Tada Jayadhrata Jala Gandhara Nilolpala Shalyagrahavadi Kripena Vahani Karnena Velakula Ashwathama Vikarna Khora Magara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Khalupanda Vairana Nadi Kaivartaga Keshavam Parasharya Vajasaroja Mamalam Gidartha Gandholkadam Nanakhyanaga Kesaram Harikatha Sambhodhana Bhudidam लोकै सज्जन शल्पदैरहरः पेबीयमानं मुदा भूयाद् भारत पङ्कज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्कं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् य ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदैर्क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्तियम् समगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्तियम् योगिनो यस्यान्दम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमते राधिकाय नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द सो वी वर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम राजयोगम द नाइन्थ चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद्गीता एंड जस्ट टू गेट a brief understanding of Bhagavad Gita up to this point. As I mentioned before, the first six chapters refers to karmam, the second six chapters is referred to bhakti, and the last six chapters refers to jnanam. So, in the beginning, Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna spoke in the first chapter what is known as Arjuna Vishada Yogam, Arjuna's distress. That is what is the whole of first chapter. At the end of first chapter, Arjuna threw away his bow and arrow and sat in the chariot in a distressful mood. And that is when Krishna started speaking in the second chapter, which is known as the Sanghya Yogam. So in the second chapter, Sanghya Yogam, contents of Bhagavad Gita summarized, Krishna begins with this famous, famous start of Bhagavad Gita, saying to Arjuna that there is no need for lamentation, because one who is in knowledge does not lament. And that was sufficient for Krishna to tell Arjuna that he was not learned. Ashochyan anya shojastvam prajnyavadamscha vashase gadasune gadasumscha nani shojandi pandidaha. That learned person, he is not disturbed by the coming and going of this material world. Material world is coming and going all the time. And the learned person who has transcended that, he is not disturbed by these changes or this chalanam or this movement of this world. It does not disturb him because he stays transcendental to that. So because Krishna was transcendental, Krishna was able to speak to this to Arjuna to explain to him that this is the proper position of a realized soul. From there Krishna begins, and initially Krishna spoke about the importance of jnanam, importance of spiritual knowledge to Arjuna. Through several verses, Krishna established in front of Arjuna that he has no knowledge, and real knowledge is when one is properly situated in spiritual life, or when one is fully realized. It is in that state whatever he says or whatever he does is with proper knowledge, otherwise it is in ignorance. Krishna has explained that through the understanding of the soul and one's establishing oneself in the spiritual platform. After that was done, Krishna spoke about karmam, the importance of karmam. Jnanam and karmam are the two tools given to us by creation. By the time of creation itself, we have acquired these two capacities, jnanam, knowledge, and karmam for action. Every living entity has got these two, jnanam and karmam. According to the jnanam, he executes his karmam. So, there Krishna spoke about the importance of karmam, how to get it right in one's life, and therefore to understand the principles of karmam. And for that reason, Chatur Sutrams, what is called as Chatur Sutram, was explained by Krishna about karmam in the second chapter. Karmani vadhigaraste ma bhaleshu kadachana ma karma bhalahe durbur mato sangostu karmani. So four different sutras that we have discussed in detail when we spoke about that verse earlier. And so these Chatur Sutrams were explained to Arjuna by Krishna. So jnanam was discussed and karmam was discussed in the second chapter. At the end of second chapter, Krishna also spoke about the nature of a self-realized soul, how he behaves, how he acts, and how he carries out his duties in this world. Yanisha sarvabhudanam yasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhudani sanisha pashadomine.
That is the symptom of a person who has reached that state of consciousness. In other words, what Krishna says there is that a person who is self-realized, for him, what is night for the living entities is day for him. And what is day for the conditioned soul is night for him. And that is a very subtle way of explaining that state of realization. Self-realized state is a difficult state to understand in the conditioned state. In the conditioned state, we think that everyone is in the same state of consciousness. But Krishna is saying there, Yanisha Sarvabhudanam, what is night for all the living entities? Yanisha Sarvabhudanam Tasyam Jagrati Samyami. Samyami means one who has controlled his senses and one who has withdrawn himself in spiritual life. What is night for all the living entities? Isya Jagrati Samyami. The controlled person, or the sense controlled personality, or the person who is advancing in spiritual path, for him he is awake at that time. Yasya Jagrati Bhudani, when the living entities are awake at that time, Yanisha Pashyado Mune. For him, for the Muni, or the silent personality, it is night time for him. We discussed that verse also, what it meant. So Krishna spoke about a person's nature in Bhagavad Gita, of a self-realized person, importance of Jnanam and Karmam, all these things were discussed in the second chapter. Soon after that, in the third chapter, Arjuna began with the question that, what is my duty? I do not know. Arjuna says to Krishna that you spoke the glories of Jnanam, by which Karmam has to be renounced, and you also spoke about Karmam, how to execute that. I am confused. So in answer to that, Krishna says to Arjuna that Karma Yoga is important. In detail, Krishna discussed Karma Yoga in the third chapter. This flow of Bhagavad Gita is important to remember, because as we go further and further, you will see that the whole of Bhagavad Gita is one full package of knowledge, and where one cannot eliminate anything. Everything is important there. And there is a relationship between Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti, and Ashtanga Yogam. Everything, all yoga system in the Bhagavad Gita has a very close relationship. And when we understand that, then we can say that we have understood what Sarvadharman Parityajya means at the end of Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says. So, in the third chapter, Krishna spoke about the Karma Yoga process by which one can purify one's karma. Everything begins with that, purifying one's own karma. In the material world, normally everyone is attached to their little things in this world, opulences or whatever we call it, possessions in this world. And due to that attachment, he is confined himself to that small world of me and mine. And when one is not able to break away from that concept of me and mine, he will not raise himself to the spiritual platform to free himself from the concept of me and mine, because it has come from the false ego. Ahankaram has generated that. And to break away from that and come to the position that I am the part and parcel of Krishna and everything is Krishna's, that conception is not developing inside because of the close relationship with the body and close identification with the body. So, that is why in the third chapter, Krishna spoke about the purification of one's work, one's karma. And for that, Krishna said that everything has to be a yajnam. Yajnam means sacrifice. This yajnam, it is the most important thing in the third chapter, that how to transfer the life into a process of yajnam or sacrifice. Sacrifice is not exactly the word for yajnam, because yajnam covers a lot more than what actually a sacrifice means. Sacrifice generally people refer to fire sacrifice, they will say. Or I'll say I have sacrificed something for something else. But yajnam is more than that. Yajnam, there is no equivalent English word for the word yajnam. Yajnam is a very spiritually vibrant word. Yajnam by Vishnu. Vishnu is yajnam himself, it says like that. So this yajnam has in the Shastram has many, many different meanings, but generally in the Bhagavad Gita, the word yajnam is used in relationship with karmam, in relationship with our karmam. So when karmam becomes yajnam, then that karmam is purifying. When karmam becomes yajnam, it becomes purifying. In Bhagavatam also you will find the same thing. Then when Krishna appeared first time, it was yajnam varaham. He was Varahamurti or boar incarnation who was identified as Yajna Varaham. So Yajnam has an important Yajna by Vishnu. So Yajnam has an important place. So that Yajnam evam pravartidam chakram Krishna says it is a chakram. Karma chakram is going on all the time. And this karma chakram, we are all a part of that. This huge, gigantic manifestation of karma in this whole creation. We are a small, tiny part of that. And one cannot stay out of it. One is a part of that. And one is forced to act, Krishna says, one way or the other, according to his modes of nature and the vasanas inside, or propensities inside. So Krishna spoke about all that, yajnam, and how to purify life, what is known as yajnam. So that was spoken in the third chapter through Karma Yogam. And at the end of that third chapter, Krishna spoke about karmam, and also Krishna spoke about the changes that has happened in the karmam. So as soon as this happened, Arjuna's questions was in the, as soon as you move into the fourth chapter, you will find Arjuna wanted to know that this karma yogam, how it should be executed. It was in relationship with that that Krishna spoke about that how originally the great personalities followed karma yogam, and in due course of time that spirit of karma yogam was lost. That's what Krishna has explained in the fourth chapter, how the spirit of karma yogam was lost. Karma yogam, Krishna says, I spoke to Vivaswan, the sun god. I spoke to him first. Imam vivasvade yogam proktava anahama vyayam vivaswan manuve praha manurikshaguve bravil. That parambara Krishna discusses there, how the karma yogam started with Vivaswan, then Vivaswan to Manu, and Swayambhuva Manu to Ikshvaku, how that came into the solar dynasty. All the great, great personalities of that time, they followed the path of karma yogam very strictly. Particularly the Kshatriya kings, they were very much in the line of in the karma yogam. They never deviated from that. This is what Krishna says. But in due course of time, that spirit was lost. When we say that Vaivaswan instructed Swayambhuva Manu, when we say that, what does it mean actually? It does not mean that Vaivaswan came and gave the instructions to Vaivaswan came and instructed to Swayambhuva Manu. No, Swayambhuva Manu understood from Vaivaswan. Swayambhuva Manu understood from Vaivaswan what is the way in which one has to execute his karma. And on that, Swayambhuva Manu built up his activities on that principle. And that you will see also in the third canto how of Bhagavatam, that how Swayambhuva Manu conducted himself in this world when he was the authority at that time. And similarly, from Swayambhuva Manu, Ikshvaku learned how to continue his administration in this world, because all those great personalities, the great kings, they followed their predecessors. They were very clear in their head. They had no confusion what is right and what's wrong. Because originally, from Vivaswan to Swayambhuva Manu to Ikshvaku, like that, that tradition carried on for a very, very long, long time. And it was that tradition that during the course of time it got broken. And then different countries have come up, and different type of administrations have come up, different dynasties have come up. So all these things are a subsequent development in this planet. They didn't exist before. So in the fourth chapter, Krishna spoke about this breakage of that tradition, what Krishna has started with sun planet. Sun was specifically chosen for this because you can see the sun is the best ideal example for karma yoga. Irrespective of what happens, sun comes and executes his duty and goes away every day, at every stage. He carries out and unattached to anything in this world. So then what happened was, at the end of fourth chapter, the question came up that karmam is important, Arjuna understood. But Krishna has also spoken about karma sannyasam there. Because at the end of Krishna says there that karma sannyasam is also important, is also good. Karma sannyasam, Krishna could not write it out because it does exist, it's a part of the spiritual life. In fact, if Bhagavad Gita was only meant for Arjuna, probably it would not have been necessary to speak everything. But because Bhagavad Gita was meant for the human society for many, many generations to come, Krishna wanted to make it clear what is different yoga systems through Arjuna. It has to come through Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, Krishna spoke it in this way that Arjuna was forced to ask different questions. And through that questions, Krishna answered everything what is to be known for one who wants to advance in spiritual life. So it was at the end of that fifth chapter that Krishna also talked about karma sannyasam. The result of that was, Arjuna asked the question, is karma sannyasam is important or Karma Yoga is important? This was the question Arjuna has raised at that time. Because all these questions will come up in the mind of a person who is trying to understand the Vedic literature. Vedic literature covers all these things in detail. So naturally, the person will ask such questions. Why is Karma Sannyasam necessary? Where is Karma Yogam applicable? All these questions will come. So it was then that Krishna spoke that Karma Yogosa Vishishyate, Karma Yogam is superior. Not because the result is different, but it is easier to execute. That is why Karma Yogam is superior. The result of Karma Sannyasam or Karma Yogam is the same ultimately. Ultimately, result is the same, but Karma Sannyasam is difficult to execute unless one is properly situated, and that is very, very difficult. But for ordinary people, Krishna says to Arjuna that you are a Kshatriya, and your duty to execute the Kshatra Dharmam, or a Kshatriya's duty, and in that connection, Krishna said to him that the Karma Yogam is superior. And then he spoke about, in that same chapter, fifth chapter, Krishna spoke various things about Karma Yogam, Karma, Makarma, Vikarmam, and various things were discussed. Karma Yogam is such a sophisticated subject, and it is very difficult for ordinary people also to correctly discriminate and say this is the correct thing and this is the wrong thing. Because Vedas are so vast, the knowledge covered in the Vedas, particularly in relationship with Karma, complete Karmagandam is also there, which is a very, very vast subject. So for ordinary people, it's very confusing to find the right solution. And therefore it was spoken there that Krishna spoke like this, that the karma is a very difficult topic. So he spoke about basically akarmam, karmam and vikarmam, the three different types of karmam, and how they are all binding, and what is allowed and what's not allowed. In the Shastram it's called vidhi nishedham. Vidhi means what prescribed duty. Nishedham means what is not allowed. And then there are which does not fall into these two categories. And because as the time advances in Kali Yuga, people will get confused what's allowed and what's not allowed. That we can already see. What Shastra says, what is allowed, nobody knows what is allowed, first of all. And they also do not know what is not allowed. So neither of things are unknown to the human society. And therefore, then they start with the mental platform that making money becomes the only goal of life. And based on that, all the other activities will be centered around that. So with the result is that completely the laws of karmam is broken. Completely people have completely ignored them. And then therefore this karmam, vikarmam and akarmam Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita in that chapter, in the fifth chapter. And at the end of that Krishna brought it back to adhibhutam, adhidevam and adhiyajnam. The subtle sides of this, that what is Krishna's relationship with the impersonal Brahman, how it has worked through the living and in his activities in this world. So many things are discussed there. And a detailed discussion is not there in the Bhagavad Gita. They come from the other Shastra, but Krishna has summarized it and put what is necessary from the Upanishads, what was necessary only, Krishna has taken and presented that in the fifth chapter. So after practicing karma for a long, long time, this karma yogam, as Krishna has explained, Krishna says one gets purified to perform or execute what is known as the jnana yoga, meditation process. When he is ready, when he is purified enough, he is ready for executing the dhyana yoga for meditation. And that time, when he is purified himself, he becomes successful in executing dhyana yoga. And through dhyana yoga process, one purify himself to that level that he will be able to realize the knowledge, which is known as the seventh chapter, known as the knowledge of the absolute, which is known as the jnana vijnana yogam. There two things are discussed, jnanam and vijnanam. Jnanam is the knowledge that you have received from the scriptures. Vijnanam is the knowledge that you have realized what you have received from the scriptures. So this jnanam and vijnanam can be achieved in that understanding of the seventh chapter. Krishna says like that in the seventh chapter. So as soon as the seventh chapter was spoken, at the end of that seventh chapter, Krishna also spoke about the process of Brahmavasana or Pranavavasana, or what is also called as Ongaravasana, or the Taraka Brahma, the importance of Pranavam, Om, the letter, and how great personalities through the letter Om, they achieve their realization through that by chanting the letter Om, the importance of Om and relationship of Om. Everything was discussed in the 8th chapter. Pranavavasana it is called. So a long chapter, 8th chapter, about Taraka Brahma Yogam, what it is called, Pranavomasana, that is discussed in the 8th chapter. And then through that, what one can achieve. And it is there, Krishna talked about the importance of the Pranavomasana, and in that, what happens to yogis who follow the process, through the two different routes, how they go back to the spiritual world. One is known as Pitriyanam, other one is called Devayanam. One is called Devayanam, other one is called Pitriyanam. And the future of a living entity, conditioned soul in this world, what happens to him at the time of death, in which direction he goes, under what circumstances, all that is discussed in that 8th chapter. So Pitriyanam and Devayanam, two processes are discussed. And what happens through Pitriyanam? We come back here. What happens through Devayanam? We go up. And Krishna explains that all depends on the living entity's activities in this world. In order to make us aware that the after death, things are not in our control. What we do here today, that is what controls our destiny after death. After death, we have got very limited freedom. We cannot change ourselves. After death, what happens? Prior to death, whatever we do here, that will change the direction of which direction we have to go. So even if one comes back here, the importance of spiritual life is such that even if to get a better material body, even in this world if one comes back, even through the Pitriyanam process, how the living entity leaves different, leaves the gross body and acquires its subtle elements again, after that, all this is discussed in that chapter. So through Devayanam and Pitriyanam, we also found out that what is known as Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam. So Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam are the two different time periods through which the yogi leaves the body. Jnanis and the devotees this does not apply to them, because they are not coming in that category. They belong to different category. The yogi's process was discussed there in the 8th chapter, and then it also spoke about there that Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam are the two timings through which one can leave the body and two different destinations. So there we spoke about Bhishma Pitamaha from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhishma's glorifications of Krishna, Bhishma Stuti in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have seen there how Bhishma at the time of death, although he was a great yogi, although he was a great jnani, but still he was a greater devotee. That you can see. All these things were present in Bhishma Pitamaha's heart. And at the time of death, all Bhishma Pitamaha wanted was to see Krishna while leaving the body, and Krishna fulfilled that desire, which we discussed there. And then we came to the next chapter, in the 9th chapter. What you find there is that Krishna has given the what is known as the importance of bhakti, the devotion. Because at the end of 8th chapter, when Krishna concluded, Krishna says to Arjuna that Vedeshu yajneshu tapasu jayivadhaneshu yal punya phalam pradishtam atyedi talsarvamidam viditva yogi param sthanam upaidhi chadhyam. Then Krishna wanted to say to Arjuna that study of Vedas, performance of sacrifices, all these tapas, austerities and penances, they are all good. But Vedeshu yajneshu tapasu jayivadhaneshu yal punya phalam pradishtam. That even if you perform charity, dhanam, all these things, ultimately it will have its own pious results coming from there. Atyedi talsarvamidam viditva yogi param sthanam ubhayidhi chadhyam. But real yogi, he transcends all these things and try to understand me, the Supreme Personality Krishna. That is how he concluded the 8th chapter. So therefore, when it came to that, Arjuna understood that this personality right in front of me, driving this chariot, is the Supreme Personality. So therefore, Krishna, immediately Arjuna's question started in a different way. In answer to that, Krishna started speaking the Raja Yoga, the 9th chapter. And that is why we are trying to understand Krishna through this 9th chapter, where Krishna presents the different aspects of the personality, Supreme Personality, Krishna. He presents Supreme Personalities, different aspects of him. And one who wants to understand Krishna, he will have an understanding of this from this chapter of 9th chapter Raja Yoga. As soon as this Raja Yoga was spoken, Arjuna was amazed by Krishna's personality, and he wanted to know what is Krishna's opulences. Because Krishna was saying to Arjuna that it was difficult for Arjuna to understand the 9th chapter, which you have seen many times before. So, but here Krishna says to Arjuna that my opulences are unlimited. But still, for your understanding, I will say some of the opulences, not all, some of them, Krishna says. And he spoke some of the opulences in the next chapter, which is the 10th chapter, Vibhuti Yogam, which is known as the Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti means opulences. All opulences, some of the opulences are spoken. In order to give an idea to Arjuna, who I am, that's what Krishna has done. So Krishna, Arjuna was in great amazement. He was sitting and listening to this, about the description of the Vibhutis or the opulences. When he heard all that, he wanted to see that. Is this all true what you have been told? When that question came, Krishna decided that let me better show him what I have spoken so far. And that is why immediately after the Vibhuti Yogam, Krishna spoke, after the opulences, Krishna showed him his universal form to Arjuna. So as soon as universal form was revealed, Arjuna saw that, Arjuna understood that this process is much more interesting, which is known as the Bhakti Yogam. The process of Bhakti Yogam is more interesting. The process of Bhakti Yogam is more interesting to Arjuna at this time, and Arjuna decided immediately to understand about Bhakti Yogam in detail. So that is why, as soon as you go into 12th chapter, you will find, in the end of 11th chapter, Krishna very categorically told Arjuna, Bhaktya tvananyaya shakya ahamevam vidho Arjuna yadam dashtanja tatvena praveshtanja parandava mal karma kritam alparamo mal bhakta sangavarjidaha nurvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamamedi pandava. So there Krishna has made it very clear that without bhakti, without devotion, it is not possible to understand me as I am here, standing in front of you. You can understand so many other things of me, other aspects of me, like the impersonal side, the Brahman, and so many other attributes you can realize. But if you want to understand me as I am, standing in front of you, the only process is bhakti. Krishna says to Arjuna there, mal karma kritam mal paramo mal bhakta sangavarjidaha, that offer everything to me and work for me and become my man. Otherwise Krishna says, mal karma kritam mal paramo mal bhakta sangavarjidaha, and give up the association of non-devotees. Give up the association of non-devotees. Sangamarjita. Sangam is the cause of everything. This sangam means disastrous results. Salsangam means good results from that. So Krishna says, Sangamarjita nurvaira sarvabhudeshu. Just because we give up association with others does not mean we have to hate them. That Krishna doesn't say that. Krishna only says, nurvaira sarvabhudeshu. All other living entities, the approach is nurvairam. No enmity towards anybody, but at the same time, no association with them. This is what Krishna has spoken. We don't have to hate anyone in order to advance spiritually. That is also not required, because that will also become a problem at the time of death, otherwise. Nurvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamamedi pandavaha. So after Krishna has spoken this 11th chapter, Arjuna wanted to know more about devotion. That is why straight away in the 12th chapter, Arjuna asked this question about devotional life, devotional Krishna consciousness, in other words. So a brilliant reply from Krishna, comparing the processes of the Jnana Margam and Bhakti Margam in that 12th chapter. We'll discuss that when we get there. But this is how that flow has happened in the Bhagavad Gita till now. Now we are going back to the chapter 9, where we were discussing the important verses. Or every verse in that chapter is important. All those verses have so much potency behind it that when one starts analyzing and studying them, you will realize it, that how important it is to understand Krishna in this way, rather than just thinking that Krishna is only at the deity standing in the temple. No, Krishna is present in everything. Everything is Krishna at the end. We are also part and parcel of Krishna, and as much as everybody else in this creation is. So when that understanding comes, our understanding of Krishna also changes. Otherwise we will think Krishna was some historical person who came to this planet 5,000 years ago, performed several pastimes and left this world and gone back to his abode. We don't know where. But that will be our understanding. No, Krishna is not like that. Krishna is here. As much as he is in the Goloka Vrindavanam, he is here as well. Only things, we don't have the eyes to see that. And that eye-opening process is this 9th chapter. Let's look at that. Satatam kirtayando mam yadandascha dradam prada namasyandascha mam bhaktya nityayuktam upasade. Verse 14. Satatam kirtayando mam yadandascha dradam prada namasyandascha mam bhaktya nityayuktam upasade. Krishna says to Arjuna that there are few things there. Satatam kirtayando mam. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. Pure devotee, please remember that. It is referring to a pure devotee's consciousness. What is that? Sadadam kirtayandomam. all he is seeing is Krishna's opulences in this world and Krishna's presence in everything what he sees. In everything he sees Krishna. That is his greatness. When one has attained that situation, all the other loss of the material world does not bind him anymore. Does not bind him anymore. He is not controlled by that because he has gone beyond than that. Loka bahya. Bhagavatam uses the word loka bahya. Loka bahya means he is outside this world. This world is created by us and we have our roles and our regulations, isn't it? We think this is the right way to behave, this is the right etiquette, this is the manners. We say so many things in this world. But for a devotee who has realized the knowledge, what is in this ninth chapter, he is not bound by that anymore. He is gone beyond, out of that. Sadanam kirtayandomam. For him, what he sees in this world is only Krishna and Krishna's energies. That's what's working here, nothing else. Everything in this world is either Krishna or Krishna's energies are working. He will be able to relate with only that way. He will be able to relate with this world only in that way, through Krishna's energies. That's all. Either it is Maya or it is Prakriti, whatever they call it. It is Krishna's energy. That's the way he will see it. Often people will come and ask this question to Srila Prabhupada. You will see this in many, many conversations, particularly these press reporters. They'll come and say, Swami, have you seen God? That's the first question they want to say. Swami, what can Swami say to him? he says, have you seen God? He says, Prabhupada says to him, if I tell you an answer, will you accept it? What else can you say to that person? Because he does not understand what he is asking the question himself. His question is, he wants to put it in his paper next day. Oh, I asked the Swami and Swami has given me the answer. This is what he wants to write in the next day. So he's asking this question. But Prabhupada is saying to him, do you accept if I tell you the answer? He says, yes. Okay, then I've seen him. Is that satisfying? Then he is thinking, how is he seen? Is he just joking with me? Or is he trying to fool me? Problem is that that person does not understand what is seeing Krishna means. He thinks that Krishna is something like him, another person somewhere around. Other Swami has seen him. This is what he wants to know. But Prabhupada's answer is this, which he cannot understand because he hasn't studied Bhagavad Gita. He has not understood what Krishna means, first of all. So he thinking and he is manipulating things in his mind in one way. And Prabhupada is answering and trying to make him understand. He doesn't have the time to wait to hear anyone because he's in a rush to get his report back to the press before the paper comes out next day. It has to be in the press. So this is the kind of discussion we have these days. That he comes and asks this question. Prabhupada explains to him that every second I am seeing Krishna, because when one has realized only Krishna exists in this world, he is seeing Krishna in everything. He is not seeing this is this country, that country. Or, okay, for material, for transaction reasons, you may say all these things. As a fool, you have to act in this world, because with the fools, what else can you do? You have to also become a fool, to live with the fools. But on a higher platform, spiritual life, you can't accept that, because there it is Krishna's energy. Everything is Krishna's energy. So, unless and until the listeners also understand the importance, understand what is spiritual life and what is creation, what is Krishna's relationship with us, what's our relationship with Krishna, all these things have to be known. Otherwise we won't understand it. It remains as a mystery to us, or mysteries to most of the people in that way. So that's why Prabhupada answered that, yes, I do see Krishna all the time. And whether he has understood or not, that's another thing, but what can we do about it? So here, this Satatam Kirtayan Domam is referring to that person who is absorbed in understanding of Krishna in this way, who has seen Krishna, nothing else in this world except Krishna and Krishna's energies. Sadadam kirtayandomam. When one has come to that platform, that person cannot do anything else. What can he do? He is seeing Krishna and Krishna, nothing else, nothing but Krishna. And when you are seeing Krishna all the time, in different ways, in different forms, in different energies, he can only do is just to glorify him, adore him with awe and reverence. He glorifies him all the time. It comes in a natural way, isn't it? Because when you see the truth right in front of you, what more can you do? What more can be done? So that is what it is said like this. Satatam kirtayandomam. Not that he is glorifying just because, oh, I have to chant now 24 hours today, so I'll chant today. No, no, nothing is forced upon him. It comes in a natural way from that person because of that realization that Krishna is everything. In everything there is Krishna. When we read that purport, you will see Prabhupada explains that. Satatam kirtayandomam. Then what else? Yadandascha dridavradaha. Dridavradaha. That is what it is important there. See, these verses are, if one probably reflects on the properly reflects on that, it'll give you such a strength. Yadandascha dridavradaha. Dridavrada. Dridavrada means such a strong determination. A determination which you don't find anywhere else. Why is that what is the difference between this determination and normal determination, what we have in this world? Our determination is not coming from realization. Our determination, for example, in the material life, when we determine to do something, you may do up to a certain thing, certain things. Eventually, when you get tired, you'll give it up. At the end, you'll think, what's the point in doing all these things? You will write it off. But for a devotee of Krishna, like Srila Prabhupada, up to the last minute was going through this, pushing this. At all costs, he was pushing Krishna consciousness to people. Why? Yadandascha dridavradaha. That dridavradam, that determination, determined mind. Why? Because it has gone into that deep realization inside that it is Krishna's world. It's Krishna's creation. Living entities are suffering in this world, and my duty is to please Krishna by offering them Krishna consciousness. So with that firm conviction and that realized state, a devotee carries on pushing this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. That is why it said, Yadandascha dridavradaha. That firmness in that process, that firm commitment in executing that spiritual life, that comes from the realization. Satatam girtayandomam yadandascha dridavrada namasyandascha mam bhaktya nita yuktam upasade. This dridavrada determination comes not only in preaching Krishna consciousness. We must not misunderstand it that way, that only a person in dridavrada will preach Krishna consciousness. No. Dridavrada also means a person who is committed to chanting the holy name. For example, like Haridas Thakur, if you remember, he used to chant 192 rounds every day. That is dridavrata. Just to chant the holy name of Krishna, that is my happiness. Because he has realized that the beauty of chanting the holy name. Therefore, Haridas Thakur will chant 192 rounds no matter what happens in this world. And this kind of determination, that is called a dridavrata. And this can happen in any other field also, either in chanting, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, or delivering Krishna consciousness to others. In all these things, this dridavrata will come from this realization. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam says about that. It's natural for a devotee to come to that consciousness. And then what does it matter? Nothing matters in this world for him. And so when the dridavrata nature is such that it forces a person to appreciate Krishna's relationship with this world and living a conditioned soul's unhappy state of life and committed to deliver the fallen conditioned souls, the great devotees engage themselves in this spiritual activities. That is what gives them the strength to do that. Nothing else. That this realization from that. Then namasyandascha mam bhaktya. What else do they do? Continuously paying their obeisances to Krishna. Continuously paying their obeisances to Krishna. Namasyandascha mam bhaktya. What kind of obeisances? Not obeisances like we do. Bhaktya, with devotion. Because most of the cases, properly to pay obeisances once to Krishna is enough. But even that is difficult for us. Even that is difficult for us. Why? Because, strictly speaking, to pay obeisances properly is a very difficult thing. Means to completely free from false ego, first thing. That is when the obeisances become proper. We have so much false ego in us, to completely wipe it out and to surrender to Krishna in that way is impossible for us. So therefore, proper obeisances is like that. In fact, in the olden days, temples which were built, if you look at the old temples, very ancient temples, you will find the first duty of many of the people who served in the temple or the great devotees, they continuously paid obeisances to the deity, in front of the deity, every day, not once or twice, hundreds of times they paid obeisances. And in order that a temple which has been built in the traditional way, according to the Vastu Shilpam and all, you will find that the temple had the facility right in front of the deities. There will be a special basement built only for this purpose, for the devotees to pay the obeisances. For the devotees to pay the obeisances. And you will always find this basement is fully occupied with people who are paying obeisances one after the other. Not once or twice, hundreds of times every day, morning and in the evening, they paid obeisances to the deities. This is how spiritual life is supposed to be. Namasyandaschamam bhaktiya, continuously paying obeisances to Krishna. Paying obeisances, getting up. Paying obeisances, getting up. Continuously for hours and hours. When they come to the temple at 3 o'clock in the morning, after they had the darshan of the deity in the morning, first time, and then for few hours they continue with obeisances. After that few hours they chant the holy names of the Supreme Lord. And after few hours they chant they study the Srimad Bhagavatam, read Srimad Bhagavatam for Krishna's pleasure. Like this, constantly glorifying Krishna one way or the other. And by the time all this is completed, probably what he has started at 3 o'clock in the morning, he has woken up at 2 and he is at the temple at 3 o'clock in the morning while the temple is opened. And from 3 right up to by 10 o'clock, he has been busy with all this, with these three different things. Either with the chanting the holy name, or studying Srimad Bhagavatam, or just paying obeisances. These three are important things in the spiritual life. Sadatam kirtayandomam yadandaschadradavradaha namasyandaschamam bhaktya nityayuktam upasade. Because he is fixed up, there is nothing changes in his life. Day after day after day. He doesn't get sick because he is so completely committed to Krishna consciousness. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you remember, in the third canto, when we discussed Kapila Vasudev's story prior to that, Kardama Prajapati and Devahuti Devi, if you remember that, we talked about this, that Swayambhuva Manu brought his daughter, Devahuti Devi, to be married to Kardama Prajapati, isn't it? And there, Sukadeva Goswami makes a very beautiful statement. If you look into Bhagavatam when you go home, if you take it and look there, you will find there. Parikshit was asking this question to Sukadeva Goswami. Swayambhuva Manu had a very, very, very long period of time. And in that long period of time of administration, not one day Swayambhuva Manu has fallen ill. Just see, Swayambhuva Manu has not one day fallen ill. 71 Chaturyugam is one Manu's time. You can imagine how long that period of time is. 71 Chaturyugam. Kritam Trayada Dwabaram Kali. Four yugas make one Chaturyugam. Like that, 71 Chaturyugam is the life of the administration time of one Manu, Swayambhuva Manu's time. In that, you are talking about millions and millions of years. 432,000 Kaliyugam, 864,000. Dwabaram, 1.2 million is Tridayugam, and 1.8 million is Kritayugam. So if you add up, you will find it is about 4 million, something like that, comes each Chaturyugam. Like that, 71 Chaturyugam. So you can see what a long period of time. Particularly, Sudeva Goswami did not forget to mention this to Parikshit, that in this long period of time, not one day he has fallen ill. Not one day he has fallen ill. Think about today's administrators. As soon as they work 2 weeks, they are gone holiday. Are they not? They are either sick or they are in some holiday resort. By the finish they are. And then they come back, rejuvenate another 2 weeks, and they go another 2 weeks again. So like this, they make it official, but more or less it is a holiday. But they say it is official. Anyway, that's not important. What I'm trying to say this is, Sudeva Goswami did not forget to say one important thing there. He says to Parikshit that he did not take one day casual leave, Swayambhuva Manu, during his whole period of time. Parikshit was in amazement how this could happen. Parikshit asked the question to Sudeva Goswami, how did that happen? Sudeva Goswami's answer, Bhaudigascha kathaklesha bhadande harisam shrayaha. One who has taken such a complete shelter of Krishna, where is the question of him getting sick in this world, he said. So in other words, if you are getting sick, you have to assume that you have not taken shelter of Krishna. That is why we are getting sick every day. Here it is paining, there it is paining, everywhere it is paining. Complaining about the weather, complaining about food, complaining about everything in this world. Cursing, 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 one day we go away from here also. This is not... Swayambhu Manu did not curse anything in this world. Bhaudiga aschakatha klesham bhadande harisam shraya. That one who has taken shelter of Supreme Personality, Hari, where is the question of him having any bodily miseries? This is what he said. Bhaudiyascha katha klesham. Klesham, bhaudiya means material miseries. Where is the material miseries for a person who has taken complete shelter of Krishna? It is not only Swayambhu Manu. Later on in the history also, there were many, many great personalities who took this very seriously. That is why they didn't take to NHS, they didn't go for Bhupa, they didn't do anything. They simply took Krishna shelter and they never had to get any card to take care of them in the future. That was their insurance, was Krishna was doing the insurance for them. They didn't go to anywhere else. So Bhaudigascha katha klesham bhadande harisam shraya. Srimad Bhagavatam says this point at that time. So anyway, actually it is Vidura Maitreya Samvadam it is. It is between Vidura and Maitreya, not with Sudeva Goswami and Parishit, it is Vidura and Maitreya. Vidura, I think, was being answered by Maitreya Maharshi. Anyway, it is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Satadam Kirtayandomam Yadandascha Dradavradaha Namasyandascha Mam Bhaktya Nitya Yoktamupasade. Such people, such personalities, such great souls, great devotees, who have come to that point, they will not tolerate, even they cannot afford to waste one second of their life in this world. They cannot afford. Because they know, as long as this material body is there, I have to serve Krishna. That is it. That is finished. There is no more retirement, no more looking forward any holidays, nothing. Everything is finished. Only Krishna is the goal. And that is the type of devotees that is discussed in these words. We shouldn't mistake that we are all being discussed in this. We are not discussed. We are not completely out of this. Because Krishna is talking to Arjuna, something very serious thing. And we are not included in that, unfortunately. Saradam kirtayandomam yadandascha dradavrada namasyandascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta mupasade. Nitya yukta, they are not controlled by time. They are not controlled by place. They are not controlled by anything. Such is the commitment in their mind, commitment in their consciousness. Then they have such a deep level of commitment that this life is to, or is been offered to Krishna completely. There's nothing will take, bring them back from that. Till they leave the body, they'll serve Krishna. After they leave the body, they'll go back to Krishna. They are the pure devotees of Krishna. It is their, those great personalities that is discussed in this verse. So, how do you get to that position? That is what is also important, isn't it? That these things are nice to hear, but when you talk about this, but Krishna says all this you can learn from this world. If you are properly observing things in this world, you can observe that. Krishna says, I present everything in this world. Only one should have the intelligence to look at it. Just like we know that very well, that this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, when one manifests in a person, automatically it makes that person humble. He will realize it, that Krishna is control everything. Krishna is the authority in everything. And I am a very tiny element in this whole creation. And normally, if you look at even the plants and the trees, they have a higher intelligence in these things than us. Just like if you look at the fruit trees, say apple trees or mango trees or any other trees, what happens is when they have a lot of fruits on them, when a lot of fruits are there on the trees, normally banana trees particularly, they all come down, isn't it? That humility in them is manifesting them already. That they become so humble because when they are rich with their produce, particularly banana trees, if you look at them, when they are rich with the banana, they come down automatically. Or mango trees also, you will see them. All them, when the tree is full of mangoes, if you look at the trees look as though they are little bit humbled by the by the wealth in them. Apple trees, if you look in the same way. Otherwise, apple trees, if you look at them, you will see it's full of leaves and flowers, everything. But as soon as the apples comes on, the leaves become down. A certain kind of humility they exhibit in their own natural way in this world. Krishna says, observe all these things, you will understand. That means, the more the knowledge comes in about Krishna, the more understanding comes to become humble. That is a natural process, how it happens. What do? We cut all the mangoes and apples, sell it and make the money, put it in the pocket and walk with the head like this. Isn't it? This is our humility. As soon as we look how smart I am. So, this is the opposite side of that. Sadadam kirtayandomam yadandaschadradavrada namasyandaschamam bhaktya niteyuktam upavasane. So, that is the humility needed to come to that level of Krishna consciousness. That level of Krishna consciousness. Krishna says this particularly here. That wherever you look, it is Krishna's vibhuti. When you see the fruit trees, one has to appreciate it is Krishna's vibhuti. Vibhuti means opulence. That understanding has to come. But instead of that understanding, what do we think? We think the wrong way. We don't see Krishna there. When the trees are producing fruits, we think, what can we do with it? How to make money out of it? That's what we think. But Krishna says, if you are free from that greed, if you are free from that greed, and if you see, observe carefully this world, you will see me everywhere, in every situation, you will realize Krishna. So this is the easiest process, Krishna says, to understand Krishna's presence in this world. Otherwise we won't understand anything. We will do everything what we want, and we will go and ask, where is Krishna? That's what our questions will be. But because our intelligence is not very fine, and we don't have that natural way of thinking, our mind is so polluted with material consciousness, we are not unable to think like this. But great sages who knew this technique of observing the nature and learning from the nature Krishna's presence, they've understood that. And that is what Krishna is talking about in this chapter. Throughout this chapter you will find that. And sometimes when you present this to people, sometimes they find it very hard to understand. Because of that material consciousness is so strong that they cannot even recognize that there is so many activities going on in the nature. They are finding it very difficult to recognize it. And therefore, with such people sometimes talking about Shastram is useless. Because they are not ready for that. Shastram is only good as long as one has a serene mind. And one has got a little bit of understanding that there is a superior authority above us. But when one is educated in the wrong way, and when one is always thinking that everything is curves and charts and equations, to such people it is difficult to explain the science of Krishna consciousness through this chapter. But otherwise this chapter is simple also in one sense, that if you think in these directions and see, look at the nature in that way, you will find there are many things the nature has got, Krishna has got to tell us through the agency called material nature. Therefore, sometimes it is said that Shastram is not to be spoken to people who are not ready for it or who are not unable to appreciate that. Otherwise, it will turn into problems. Sometimes it can happen like that. Once it so happened that one person, he found he found something fascinating in the ants. You know, the ants which run around everywhere on the trees, sometimes on the floor. So some of the ants which runs on the trees, they are little bit bigger than the ones which comes on the floor. They go around sometimes in row, they keep moving around on the tree. So he was observing, these are people who make a lot of observation on the nature. So you observe that one of these ants, how they move around on the trees towards the fruits, and different kind of interactions between the ants. He was observing all these things. You may think that why was he wasting his time? No, he wasn't wasting his time. He was trying to understand from the nature, the behavior, pattern of the different living entities. So when he was doing that, what happened was, suddenly he noticed that the ants have a little bit of fascination for music. So he started playing different music to them to see if they responded to it. Just as an experiment, he did that. And he realized that ants also has got interest in the music. And he saw a couple of ants, ants who started dancing with the music. Dancing in the sense that they were reacting to it in a very positive way. So he thought, because he had nothing else to do otherwise, because indeed this was quite common among many, many people. They just enjoy the nature, dealing with nature in different ways and observing the activities of different birds, different animals, and different trees in the nature, how they change in the natural conditions, how they react to different situations. Today in our modern lifestyle, because people don't have so much time to look at all these things, so they go to the zoo and see whatever that is there, pay the money and see, they all see them come. He hasn't got the time for anything except to earn his living. So naturally, these kind of finer thoughts don't develop inside. And so he has concluded that it's all a waste of time. So he doesn't waste any more time on those things. But that was not the case. Previously, people have had time to spend on these things. And so he decided that, let me train one of these ants to dance, because he's showing so much interest in the music. So he trained one ant, and with this music, what he was trying to teach the ant. And the ant also started enjoying. So he put this ant in a small bottle-like thing and fed the ant properly with whatever it was wanted, and took around this ant everywhere and showing to people that how it dances to the music. And because it was an ant, not many people could see it from long distance. So he decided to put some cameras around and make it in a bigger scale so that it can be seen from a longer distance. And people started enjoying it. The ant can also dance with the music. And it was shown on the screen and people were able to watch. And he was having some fun like this. Lot of people you will find with different occupations like this. Some people do with the monkeys, some people do with the snakes. So he has selected the ant for that. Anyway, he carried this ant and he went around to so many small towns where he was doing this particular trick. And he was making a living out of it as well. So this was going on. So one day he went to one restaurant, and there he was taking his food. And he was talking to the supplier or the bearer who was giving the food to him and delivering the food. And he was eating the food and he was talking to that young boy who was very friendly with him, and they were talking to each other. So that time, naturally, during the conversation, he thought that he will show this trick of the ant to that boy. So when the boy went to bring some food, he set it up very quickly. It was only a small bottle from which the ant came out, and he started playing the music and started dancing with the music, and was trained very well by now because he was taking it around all the time. So when the boy came back, he saw this. He immediately saw the ant was there. He just took the ant and threw it away. "Sorry, sir," he said. Why? Because he felt that though the ant was there in the food, and he did not even think one second before he could say anything, he took the ant and threw it away from there. And this is what will happen. If you talk about Shastram, to look at the way Bhagavad Gita has spoken to people who are not tuned for that, their mind will turn like this, like the way the bearer's, the boy's mind is gone. In the same way, they will think that it has nothing to do with me, it is completely something outside, I have nothing to do with it. But those who can think, they can understand that Shastra means, this is why Krishna says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, you will see, ya Shastra vidimul srajyam vartade kamakaranal, that this Shastram has to be understood by people who are with a serene mind, who have that, the mode of goodness is, it does help to understand Shastram. Otherwise, Shastram will remain as a difficult subject for them. Many, many things spoken in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam will remain as very difficult to understand. So, strictly speaking, what Krishna is saying here is that the everything to be understood properly, that's important, because everything is spoken indirectly also in the Shastram. Parokshavado vedoyam balanamanushasanam, everything is spoken paroksham. So, because it is paroksham, and parokshanja mama priyam, Krishna says, I like it that way. Everything spoken in that way, indirectly. So, what we find is this, that as we said before, that in the Bhagavad Gita, you will find several things. But more and more you probe into that, you inquire about it, you will find a lot more interesting things coming out from Bhagavad Gita. Just as in the Ekadasha Skandam, in the Bhagavadam also is like that. So, here, Krishna is saying here, that the important thing, all Krishna is repeating the same thing again and again. You may think, why is he repeating? I already understood. You understood, but you are not able to stay in that consciousness. That's the problem. That's why it is repeatedly told again. Krishna is saying here, Satatam kirtayando mam yadandaschadradavrada namasyandaschamam bhaktya nityayukta upasade. But we are not able to reach that state of consciousness, nor we are able to stay in that consciousness. But we say we have understood that. Oh, you understood. But what has happened after understanding? We are not able to maintain that consciousness. Therefore, it's repeated again and again. This is the reason why Bhagavad Gita is repeating. To keep that consciousness of a devotee in that level is very, very difficult. Even if you have understood now for a minute, the next moment, it's all changed again. Isn't it? So therefore Krishna gives examples also. Just like if you go and watch a movie in a theater, what happens? When you walk into the theater, movie theater, there was only the screen was there, isn't it? You go and sit there. After a few minutes the movie starts. Movie starts and one after the other the scenes are coming. And sometimes you look at people at that time. Somebody is crying, somebody is smiling, somebody is... Why? At that time, you have totally identified with the movie. Everything what's going on, it's real to you. Isn't it? You're totally identified with it. And suddenly the interval comes, the light comes on, the screen is blank. Only at that time, from a different world, you're coming back to this world again. Just see how our own life, we go on from one world to another. One world to another. So that is the more or less it is Krishna saying this world, what we are living in today, is also another world like that. Except that in that movie world, in the theater, for a few hours, we were identifying completely with different characters in the movie and experiencing their happiness and their distress and thinking that that is everything. Totally absorbed in that. But the moment the cinema or movie comes to an end, we come back to another world again, back to another world. Krishna is saying that this world also is very much similar to that. There is nothing much going on here, except that it is a much longer movie that's going on. That's what the difference is. And the movie is interesting when there is a lot of either it's a thriller or romance or suspense or whatever it is there, it makes it more interesting. Say for example, I produced a movie now, tomorrow. I'm going to make a movie and the movie starts like this. In the morning, everybody comes for Mangaladi. They're all standing there, samsara dhava anali dhaloga. We started chanting, everybody is singing, dancing, all that. After that we said Jayom prayers, and then we sang the Narasimha prayers, and after that everybody got up, Tulsi Devi was brought in, we circumambulated Tulsi Devi, Tulsi Devi's prayers were spoken, and then after that we chanted Japam. This is all shot in the camera, and we are showing it all these things to people. By now, half the people in the theater will go. There is not much interest in this. It's the same thing. What is the difference? Even if they are devotees, they'll say, I've seen all these things, I've done all these things. Say suddenly, in the middle of that, say somebody is sitting down and chanting his Gayatri. Someone is coming from the back with a knife like this. What will happen? What will happen at that? Everybody will become like this. Immediately alert to see what's happening. So this is how our mind, we want this suspense. We want this all this chaos in life. So therefore, the theater, the movie makers also, the filmmakers also, they create all these scenes for us. Batman or whatever that is, they have created so many different kinds of things to create this and enjoy in that way. This kind of enjoyment, that's what we want. Rajoganam is the beginning of all these things. So Krishna is saying here that the nature of this world is also like that. As soon as you identify with the world, as soon as identified with the society, with the country, with the family, with this, with that, we have to participate in that movie. But so long as you stay away from that and observe everything, what is going on, and see the reality what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. And when you start, first thing is to withdraw from the external things, and secondly to identify it with Krishna's energy. When one does that, then you can understand this verses what Krishna has spoken. Otherwise, if you read these verses, it will just remain as a verse only. It will not have any impact on us. The studying these verses means reflecting in this way, to withdraw our mind and senses from the external world and bring it into the Krishna's world, Krishna's world. And when you come to Krishna's world, you see a different world altogether. The whole material creation manifests in a different way to us. That is what all these verses are talking about. Now, in this verse, Krishna spoke about pure devotion. And let us see what Krishna says in the next verse, which is pure based on knowledge. Krishna has not forgotten about knowledge. Jnana yajnena japyani yajando mam upasade egatvena pradaktvena bahudha vishvado mukham. Jnana yajnena japyani yajando mam upasade egatvena pradaktvena bahudha vishvado mukham. This is also another important verse, very important verse, because there is so much in that verse. Jnana yajnena japyani yajando mam upasade. Some people, Krishna says, they don't follow this pure devotee's process, which was discussed in the earlier verse, Bhakti Yoga, pure devotion. Rather, they will take to the process of knowledge, jnana yajnam, through the process of knowledge. Yajandayamam upasadem, then how do they serve me? Egatvena prasatvena bahutha vishvato mukham. They see me in this world and they approach me through three different routes, he says. Through three different routes. Now, what are these three different routes? Prabhupada has explained that in that purport on that verse. Egatvena pradaktvena bahutha vishvado mukham. Egatvena pradaktvena bahutha vishvado mukham. Three things. What does egatvena means? Egatvena means jnanis have also worshipped the deity. They also worship the deity. Sometimes people ask, why the jnanis have got to do with deity worship? No, they also worship the deity. But there is a difference there. Jnani, deity worship, if you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, deity worship, Krishna talks about it in the Bhagavatam later on. Kriya Yoga it's called. There you will find, first of all, let us understand what is deity worship, isn't it? Because before we talk about deity worship in detail, let's understand what is deity worship means. Deity worship, one should understand from in this way. Say for example, you are living at home. You are living at home. A guest comes home, isn't it? A guest comes home. Of course, all these things what I'm going to say is not very relevant to the modern times. Because modern way of receiving guests and sending the guests away is a little different than the Vedic system is. Vedic system is more cultured way. The modern system is more escaping route. So it's a little different. But we'll stick to the Vedic path, what Vedic system is. Vedic system is a guest comes home. So you invite the guest, invite him, plead him to come. Adhiri Devo Bhava. Guest is considered like that. He is invited to come home. When he comes home, you have to receive him first properly, isn't it? So he is offered a proper place to sit. Guest is offered a proper place to sit. And the Vedic system is, when the guest has arrived home, and after you have received him, first thing what he does is, you invite the guest to bathe. He has to bathe first. Bathing is important because to maintain that bodily purity after moving around outside, it is considered that one should bathe once one should come home to into a house as a guest. So naturally, the arrangements are made for the guest to bathe. All the ingredients are provided. Of course, nowadays it's all in the shower room or bathroom, whatever it is, but in the ancient times when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, there were no bathrooms and shower rooms. It was considered to be dirty to have them at home. People used to go only when one is sick, he bathed at home. Otherwise, people bathed in the river or in the tanks or lakes and places like that. That was the bathing spot. Flowing water was important to bathe. Flowing water. Water which flows. That is why rivers like Ganga River and Yamuna River were full of people bathing all the time. Now there is no water there in any of these rivers. Most of them are dry many months in a year. And plus we have built beautiful showers in our apartments, so we don't need to go there. It makes much more comfortable. But bathing generally means one goes to the river to bathe. You will find in all the stories in the Bhagavatam and all, sages coming to visit the kings and then they will go to bathe in the river, like Durvasa Maharshi. He says he wanted to bathe and Ambarish Maharaj sent him to bathe in the river and to come back. So naturally, Brahmanas and the sages, they all had to bathe in the river and they had to offer their tarpanam to the Sandhyavandanam, everything they had to perform in the river, standing in the river. offering oblations to the sun god, so many things, chanting the Gayatri, standing in the water. This was all common, very much pursued by those days. So bathing, that is the next thing. He comes first, sits down, talks to the householder. Householder invites him to go and bathe. And then he bathes, then he comes back. And when he comes back, he has to be provided with fresh clothes and all the other ingredients for decorating the body. Isn't it? All ingredients for decorating the body. After that, after this is done, when everything is pure, then he is offered food to eat. Isn't it? He is offered food to eat. First class, as best as one can, a householder should prepare the food and offer him all kinds of foodstuff for the host to enjoy nicely and to eat very well, to please him as best as one can. This is, we are talking about the Vedic times. And then after that is done, one should, after the food is eaten, one and is finished, he comes out and sit down. He is placed at that time. At that time, the householder should speak to the guest in a very pleasing manner. In a very pleasing manner. Very many nice things. By talking to him in a very pleasing way. Make him feel happy, welcome and happy in that way. This is all the process of receiving a guest at home, as it is talked about that in the Smritis, in the Shastrams like that. And after that was done, if the guest wants to rest, the guest should be offered a place to rest and properly given all facilities to rest as well. And then after he has rested enough, and when the guest wants to leave home, after sufficient time he has spent home, when he wants to leave, the householder should accompany him some distance, asking him if he needs any further help, and looked after him, and should make sure that he leaves home in a very happy mood. In other words, if he is satisfied, that is actually as good as pleasing Krishna. Because guest is a representative of Krishna. Atithi Devo Bhava. That Atithi, that guest is important. This is the Vedic culture, is insisting all these things. It is from this concept that deity worship has come. If you look at it, look at deity worship, how deity worship is done in a temple. It's exactly this is what is happening. That when we do deity worship, first thing is, we are inviting Krishna to come. Isn't it? We are inviting Krishna to come. So there, if you look this verse, you will find, Egatvena. First of all, Krishna has to come. Where will he come from? Where will Krishna come from? You want to invite Krishna from somewhere to come and be a guest. That's what we are doing in the temple. We are inviting Krishna to come as a guest in the temple. Or at home, when you are doing deity worship also, it's the same principle. But where will you invite Krishna from? Where is the best place to invite Krishna from? The best place to invite Krishna is within yourself, isn't it? Where is he present the best? Closest is inside. So, in that understanding is this Egatvena, that word is used. That means, what you do is, you are a part and parcel of Krishna inside. You are asking Krishna, please come and be seated. Let me look after you. Let me serve you now. And that is why the first process in the deity worship is what is called as avahanam. Avahanam means invite. This is all done through mantras. Krishna doesn't come, we won't be able to see. But that mantra, if properly chanted and if properly performed, it means that from inside Krishna comes and occupies the seat. Occupies the seat. So it is the seat that is worshipped first. First the seat is worshipped, and understanding that Krishna is going to sit on that. So first the seat is worshipped, then Krishna is invited from inside, which is called, the process is called avahanam. He is invited, he comes and sits on that seat. When he sits there, what is the first thing we do? Just like we discussed with the guest, it's not much different, Krishna is our guest now. So from then on, every step what we does is exactly the same thing what you have done with the guest. First you wash, of course, if it is an honorable guest, like Supreme Personality, Spiritual Master and all, first the devotee washes the feet of the Lord. Washes the feet of the Lord. He has come from outside, so he should be washed from the feet. Although Krishna is present everywhere. But the process is like treating Krishna like a guest. And then washes the feet. After washing the feet, Krishna is provided with all facilities for bathing, with the milk and with various other ingredients. In the big temples, if you go, you will see this continuously bathing with milk. Krishna is bathed with milk so much. And then Krishna is once bathed with milk, again dried up. Again bathed with other ingredients, so many different ingredients like the rose water, and then the sandalwood water, and so many different things, yogurt, and many big temples have big preparations for that, and all stored in golden pots to be poured on Krishna from the top. And that is how they do the deity worship. That deities are bathed with various kinds of things for hours together. It takes a long time to finish the bathing. And when everything is finished with first class water, Krishna is bathed again with water. And all this is coming from this principle only. And after everything is done, then Krishna is dried all through his body with first class clothes. Krishna is dried everywhere. When everything is dried, then Krishna is offered a beautiful dress to wear. Depending on which form Krishna is worshipped. Sometime Krishna is worshipped as a young beautiful boy. At that time Krishna is provided with a young kaupin, like the brahmachari's underwear, and a small cloth to be tied on the waist to cover that brahmachari underwear. And then Krishna is given a flute in the hand, butter in the hand, or some fruit in the hand, or the flute and the fruit in the hands. And then Krishna is provided with a crown and the earrings, and also sandalwood pulp is put on the faces. Like that, whole body is very nicely decorated. Just like a guest is decorated with fresh clothes and fresh ornaments, everything. Similarly, Krishna has come as our guest. So our duty is to first to provide everything for Krishna. After that is done, then the next thing to do is to give first class prasadam to Krishna. Offer food to Krishna, isn't it? That is what we call as the offerings. Offering is nothing but this. After Krishna has bathed, he is hungry now. He has to eat. So Krishna has to eat. So whatever dress Krishna wears, like in big temples, for example, some places Krishna wears the pitambaram, the yellow garment. And Krishna wears beautiful garlands around. So there he is in the Radha Krishna form. Krishna and Radharani worship together. Some places he is in the form of Parthasarathi, driving chariot of Arjuna. So there it is a different dress. There Krishna won't have that kind of dress. It will be a little different, like a charioteer driving Arjuna's chariot, where he is decorated in such a way that as though he is in the battlefield, which is again different. So depending on which conditions in which he is worshipped, or the deity is, sangalpam is, or whatever that understanding is, on that basis Krishna is dressed. So after the dressing is over, the next thing is to offer first class offering to Krishna. All different kinds of preparations are offered to Krishna. When all this offering has been done and Krishna is very pleased, has taken enough prasadam and right up to as much as he wanted, Krishna is very pleased. But at that time Krishna wants to hear about his glories. That is nothing but speaking to the guest in a very nice way to please him. So similarly, that is what we sing the arati for. So when you sing the arati in front of the deity, the perception is this: Krishna has just finished his prasadam, he has taken the food, and now he is ready to listen to me, what I have got to say. So that's the mood of the person who sings the arati in front of the deity. That he sings the song in order to please the deity after he had this prasadam. And in this way, Krishna is looked after from morning to night. Of course, in big temples, they have 5 or 7 offerings every day, depending on the time, and different kinds of preparations. And to be followed by, each time, by Prasanna Puja. That's how they call it as that offering, after which Krishna is in a very pleased mood. At that time, you sing the glories of Krishna to please him. So when that is completed, Krishna had a whole day of activities. And then Krishna wants to rest. Whole day of activities and Krishna wants to rest. So the facilities are provided at that time for Krishna to rest. And that is what is putting Krishna to sleep, as we say. But if all this is done in a mechanical way, that would not have any effect. But if a person does all these things pure, with the proper understanding, for many years, automatically Krishna is not anymore an unknown entity for him. Krishna is not anymore an unknown entity. After 12 years of service to a deity with the proper consciousness, automatically it is to be understood that the pujari at that particular temple is in close relationship with Krishna, so long as he has executed his deity worship properly. This is the technique behind it. Now, in the system, what they call it as egatvena prathaktvena bahutha avishvado mukham. Egatvena means, after, in some situations, it may not be possible to continue the worship all the time. Okay, in big temples it is possible to do this. On a regular basis the worship will go on. But say for example there are certain situations where one cannot do that. One is not able to do that. One has to live in a traveling or on a pilgrimage or things like that where one does not get that opportunity. Therefore, there this system will work. Why? Because there what happens is, you have brought Krishna from inside, and after the worship is over, you have to send Krishna back to where he came from. And that is known as Udvasanam. Avahanam and Udvasanam. So, bring him from inside and send him back inside, where he came from. So, in there, the concept is that the living entity, the Jiva, and Krishna are one and the same. It is a spirit inside. Generally, what they say is that the Supreme Soul, Super Soul, becomes a Jivalma. When it comes under the conditions of material modes of nature. When it is under the influence of Maya, it is Jivalma. But the moment it is released from a conditioned state, it becomes Paramatma. That is what their perception is. The Jnanis have that perception. So, that Egatvena word here, in this verse, is referring to that oneness of the Jivalma and Paramatma, and they worship the deity in this way. Jnana yajnena chapyene Jnana yajnena chapyene yajando mamupasane egatvena prathaktvena bahutha vishvado mukham. This is egatvena, the oneness style of worshipping the deity. Now the next one talks about there is prathaktvena. Prathaktvena means they do not accept this, they do not follow this process of bringing from inside. They worship a particular form of Krishna, form of the deity, but always as a servant. They see themselves as a servant of Krishna. Completely separate from Krishna, purely as a servant, they worship the deity. But the process of worship is more or less the same. It's not much different. Where Krishna comes from and where Krishna goes, that is where the difference is. For egatvena, when oneness is stressed, then he comes from the heart and then he goes back to the heart again. Where it is prathaktvena, he is already installed and he is present there in that deity and he worships them as separate from the deity. He does not identify himself with Super Soul. He says separately from him. And apart from these two, Krishna mentions the third thing there. What is that? Bahutha Vishwado Mukham. Vishwado Mukham. This person, he has seen Krishna in everything, in different places, like the universal form. And that is what is attraction to him. So his worship is in that way. He also is worshipping, but he worships in a little different than the others. He is seeing in everything Krishna's presence, nothing else. That's what is giving his process of worship. In other words, all the mountains, rivers, mountains and rivers, lakes, big trees, forests, in everything, sun, moon, in everything, he is seeing Krishna's presence and worship him in that way. That's what it says, Bahutha Vishwato Mukham. The whole universe is face of Krishna. Krishna, just like you can see in the third canto, it is mentioned also, the trees are all, the grass on the earth is all Krishna's hair. The sun and the moon are Krishna's eyes. Isn't it? Like that, many things in the body are all relating to Krishna's form in one way or the other. The mountains, everything is mentioned like that. So, those people who do not want to follow the other two, they take to this process. So, three things, jnanis are mentioned here, three different processes of worship. Jnana yajnena chapyene yajandoma upasade egatvena prathaktvena bahutha vishvado mukham. These three ways, they say, that in these three ways, they approach Krishna. They are all approaching Krishna. Remember that. They are all going towards Krishna. Approaching Him in different ways. Let's see what Srila Prabhupada says about that. In Prabhupada's purports, if you look at that, you will find if you read the purport,
Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajando mamubhasade yegatvena pradaktvena bahuta vishvado mukham.
Krishna say, Prabhupada says there in the purport, if you read, but there are others who are still, that was fifth or sixth line, but there are others who are still lower and there are divided into three. He who worships himself as one with the Supreme Lord, he who concocts some form of the Supreme Lord and worships that, and three, who accepts the universal form, the Vishwarupam of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worships that. So those three things, egatvena pradaktvena bahudha avishvado moham. Then later on, Prabhupada says there, generally, the impersonalists worship the Supreme Lord in this way. The second class includes the worshippers of the demigods, those who by imagination consider any form to be the form of the Supreme Lord. So you can see that those who are worshipping any form, they are also worshipping Krishna, but not directly offering to Krishna, directly placing Krishna. That is it. They are also worshipping Krishna. That's why demigods worship also is there in the Vedic literature. And Vedic tradition also accommodates that. Krishna's method is not to reject anybody. Krishna carries everyone along with him. And Krishna says later on you will find in another verse what happens to such people who worships me indirectly through other forms, like the demigods, who worship through demigods, what happens to them? Krishna says that later. But what Krishna is saying there is, they are also worshipping me. They are also worshipping me. Because although it is not the best process, the best process is the first one, the what we discussed in the previous verse, sadadam girtayandomam yadandaschadradavrada namasyandaschamam bhaktya nityayuktam upasade. That is the pure process of Krishna consciousness. Pure devotee's process. But that is not easy for ordinary people to get there. So therefore, these different systems do exist. And through this process also, they come to that, eventually they get there. Although it may take a longer period of time. But the goal is ultimately to get to that state of consciousness. Egatvena pradaktvena bahutha vishvado mukham. The one who is seeing Krishna in the universal form, and appreciating Krishna's presence and everything, he will also make that progress. One who worships Krishna as a servant of Krishna and seeing in the deity Krishna's presence, worshipping him, he will also make progress. And one who worships Krishna, thinking, bringing him from inside, considering himself to be one with Krishna and surrendering and serving him in that mode, he will also make progress in that way, from that. They are all bona fide as far as Krishna is concerned. They all worship me, Krishna says. What does Krishna says? Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajando mamumasate. They are all worshipping me. Egatvena prithaktvena bahudha vishvado mukham. The only thing is the process is different. Because according to the capacity of the person and one's own mind. Because everyone is not the same. We all have different inclinations in our mind. Someone is more attached to that universal form. Someone is more attached to this form, oneness of the absolute and the living entity. And somebody else wants to be a servant in that way. So how can one reject any of them? They are all Krishna's processes in the Bhagavad Gita. So from now on, if you look at, you will find there that Krishna explains there
Generally, the impersonalists worship the Supreme Lord in this way. Which one? The first one, Egatvena. Then he says, the second class includes the worshippers of the demigods, those who, by imagination, consider any form to be the form of the Supreme Lord. They will see, say for example, when they are worshipping Lord Shiva, or Durga, or Ganesh, or Kartikeya, or Sun, any other form of Krishna, they will see, they'll consider that as the supreme form of Krishna, and they'll worship him in that way. But that is the form they are attached to. So they'll worship in that form. Therefore, they cannot be rejected. Krishna says that. So, but in due course, by worshipping that form, they also make that progress. But in course of time, they'll come to the first class devotee's position, which was explained in the previous verse. And then Krishna says, and the third class includes those who cannot conceive of anything beyond the manifestation of this material universe, which is the Vishodhamukham, what it was spoken there. They consider the universe to be the supreme organism or entity and worship that. The universe is also a form of the Lord. Prabhupada says the universe is also a form of the Lord. Later on, when we go into another one or two verses later, I think it's the second verse, we'll come to that later. So, another three or four verses from now, if you look, you will find something else now. Krishna talks about something different. What does Krishna say? Krishna says there, I think it's about four verses. Krishna says that, I am this, I am this, I am this, in this. I am everything, everything. Krishna says, I am everything. And why? Because we are not able to relate with Krishna properly. We are always thinking that sometimes people read these verses and they take it. I don't know what Krishna is trying to say. Krishna is saying, I am this, I am this, I am this, I am this. What is this, all this? Somebody asked me this question once. This is, Krishna is saying like this, I am this, everything is Krishna, then what I'm supposed to do is this. So, I couldn't answer that question. Because he hasn't understood anything, that's why he asked that question. He was telling me that he read Bhagavad Gita, and what he understood from Bhagavad Gita was, he says, Krishna is saying, I am this. If you see the next four verses particularly, it's in that mood it is spoken. But because he didn't understand anything, he thought that Krishna is saying, I am all these things. Everything is I am, he says. So what am I supposed to do then? That was his question. So it is very difficult when somebody reads books like this and understands things like that. Bhagavad Gita is not a very mystery book. There is so much behind it. And when one starts to understand that properly, it will all make sense also. It's not something spoken in a vague way, something Krishna spoke to Arjuna, and we just chant it once a year in Jayanti day and says, we also understood now. Like, that understanding is one understanding, but proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita is this way, that we understand what Krishna was trying to get through to us through these things. Why was Krishna saying this, I am this, I am this, I am this? Why did he say that? All those things will be clearer when you go through the next four verses. Let's go through that. Aham kraduraham yajnyam sadaham aham aushadam mandroham aham evajyam aham agniraham hudam. In the previous verses, these are very interesting things in the Bhagavad Gita. If you start seeing Krishna in this way, you will find that something was, you were away unknown about Krishna. Krishna, certain aspects of Krishna, they are very interesting. That many people say that in order to see Krishna, you don't have to even go to the temple. If you really want to see Krishna, he is present in everything. Only thing is, you have to have the eyes to see that. That is why it is called Shastra Chakshusa, isn't it? Shastra Chakshusa means seeing things through Shastram. It is not a different kind of glasses that you put on. No, it is seeing things properly through the Shastram. That is what Shastra Chakshusa means. This Mamsa Chakshusa means this normal eyes what we have. They can only bring you the form of the material, what you see. Nothing else, isn't it? Only the form or the color. These things you can understand. Nothing else with these eyes. But Shastra Chakshusa brings you to some other aspect of that object. That's what it does. That's why it is called seeing through Shastram, it says. So that is what it's going to start here. Examples are given in so many different ways. Acharyas try to get this point through. Just like somebody said, how do I see Krishna in coconut tree? He said, yes, you can see Krishna in coconut tree. Prabhupada said, you can see Krishna in coconut tree if you want to see. just stand in front of a coconut tree and look at the coconut tree. He says, all at the top of the tree, something like 10 or 15 meters high, all these coconuts are hanging there. And inside that coconut, this sweet water there, which is very, very relishable in this hot summer, that who has brought that water there from ground? Who brought it there? Where is your pumping system? Krishna says, Prabhupada says, you stand there and look at that coconut tree and see where is the pump that is pumping the water right up to, and at the right time, if you pull the coconuts down and cut them off, you will see the pool of water, and that too very, very sweet water. Who put that water there? Prabhupada says, ask this question and tell me an answer, he said. Is that not Krishna who has done that, brought that water all the way up 20 meters? There is no centrifugal pump downstairs anywhere pumping water there. But the water is there, when it's ready there, when it's time there. It's working, system is working. It's taking the water from the ground, taking it up all the way there, and it goes into this, and Krishna Prabhupada says that you take the coconut out from there. And when it comes down, you look at the packaging of the coconut. You just look at the packaging. Outside that beautiful, powerful shell. Inside that still powerful shell. It takes a while to get rid of all that. And then the hard core inside. Only when you break that hard core inside that soft, sweet coconut inside. Who did this packaging? Of course, in the West, everybody is after packaging, isn't it? The food has to be packaged so nicely. The whole life is spent on packaging here. So, is there any better packager than Krishna? Look at the coconut, how it is packaged. That soft, beautiful coconut inside, how beautifully Krishna has packaged in that coconut. And that water, the sweet water inside. Krishna's packaging is so perfect that nobody can package it like that. Of course, in the modern world, this packaging has become such an important industry that many, many thousands of people are employed in this packaging. To package a little bit of rice, there are hundreds of factories running to design the packaging cover of that, or some cereals, whatever it is. And you really laugh at it, the amount of energy that's been spent to pack a little bit of food. And all you can say is that is the powerful Maya, like Vidura said to Dhritarashtra, that how Maya controls us so nicely. That you work hard, okay, you carry on, I'll give you plenty of projects to do. So like this, that in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look at it, Krishna's opulences are like this. Krishna can package, do anything better than us, anytime, even packaging. That's what it's saying. So, jnana yajnena japyanye yajandoma avasade yegatvena prathaktvena bahutha vishvato mukham. So, similarly, if you look in material nature, you will find Krishna in everything. And that is what, from now on, in the next four verses, you will find.
Aham kaduraham yajna svathaham aham aushadham mandroham aham evajya aham agmiraham hudam.
Then, Krishna says, aham kratu. Kratu means devayajnam. Devayajnam means sacrifices for the demigods. Krishna says, I am that. Now, when you say that, what does it mean?
Aham kratu, aham yajnam, svathaham aham aushadham, mandroham aham evajyam, aham agni aham hudam.
Krishna says, everything me, it is me. I am the
aham kratu, aham yajnam, svathaham aham aushadham.
That means the pidriyajnam, offerings to the offerings to the forefathers, Shraddha ceremony and all that. Krishna says, I am that. So, aham kradu, aham yajnam, all the Vedic sacrifices, Krishna says, aham that. And so, aham aushadam, all that what you find as a medicine in this world, it's me. All the medicines are me, Krishna says. And then what else he's saying?
Mandroham, aham ayvajyam, aham agniraham hudam.
All the mantras what you chant, I am that. Ajyam, ghee, what you use for the sacrifices, I am that, Krishna says. And then, what else?
Aham agni, aham hudam.
And all the sacrifice, the fire in which you pour all the ghee into it and all the other ingredients, that fire is also me. So,
aham kraduraham yajna, sodaham aham aushadam, mandroham aham evajya, aham agni, aham hudam.
Everything is me, Krishna says. We look at what Krishna is saying is that quietly, Krishna is moving into his opulences now. Quietly he is moving into his opulences, which is the next chapter. But prior to that, Krishna wants to make Arjuna understand something. What's that? That everything in this world, Krishna says, an attitude has to be there in a person to execute it like a yajnam. That is the importance behind it. That yajna bhavam, that in order that to culture in a person's mind, Krishna brings us to this understanding. That is why it is spoken like this. Aham kraduraham yajnam, swadhaham aham aushadam, mandroham aham evajyam, aham agni aham hudam. That means, say a sacrifice is going on, a fire sacrifice or a homam or a yajnam or anything. Fire has been burned and a fire has been lit and you are chanting the mantram. You are offering the havis into the fire, ghee into the fire. And you are taking medicine at that time. It's all a sacrifice what is being done. It's a yajnam it is. And one should do everything with this understanding. That is the goal of saying like this. That is why it is said it is a yajnam. Krishna gives a lot of importance to this yajnam. You can see this in Kama Yogam also, we discuss this. Life has to become a yajnam. In other words, if life is not a yajnam, what will happen is we are separating ourselves from the main track. Krishna's creation, everything is one unit. And that is why in the third chapter Krishna spoke like that. Evam pravartidam chakram. If you remember that verse, that this wheel, karma chakram, is going on. And you are in that wheel. Don't try to move out of it. Break away from everything and do things independently. If you do things independently, what will happen is that akhayur indriya ramo moham partha sajivati. In that verse you can see in the third chapter. Evam pravartidam chakram anuvartayati haya akhayur indriya ramam moham partha sajivati. Krishna says that person does not know how to live in this world. He lives, wastes his time. Because everything in Krishna's creation has a purpose. And the Vedic knowledge is such, it tells you how to quietly come out of this karma chakram and free yourself. And for that there is a process, and that is karma yogam and all the other. All the other established system is created for that. When we do not understand this chakram, this wheel, what will happen? We tend to go away from that. Isn't it? We'll tend to go away from that. I can give you best examples for that. When we do not understand how it work happens to our own life, it's the best thing is to take it for life. Anything what is offered to Krishna, every time one makes an offering to Krishna, the person who makes the offering, his presence is required. Otherwise the offering is not complete. Otherwise the offering is not complete. That is the understanding, because he is a part of that offering. He is standing there in front of the deity. Say for example, a person comes and makes an offering to the deities. He should be present in front of the deity and while it's being offered to the deity, or he should be a part of that, the sacrifice there. He should become a part of that. But unfortunately, because we have forgotten this relationship, in yajnam, we are also part of that. Because Krishna says here, aham kraduraham yajnam, swadha aham aham aushadam, mandro aham aham evajyam, aham agni aham hudam. Everything is me, Krishna says. So you are also part of that. While making that process, when executing that process, you are a part of that. But now what happens? Have you seen what happens these days? Nowadays, what's more interesting is, you can do arati through internet. Can you imagine that? The understanding of the person, where it has reached. He is sending in the internet, do the arati for Radha Gogalnanda from the .com. He is sitting somewhere and this is not the what Krishna has meant here. We have completely misunderstood. And then, not only that, in so many things you will see, the Vedic culture was such that everything is related to us. We are not some separate entity from this world. We are a part of this world. And we have our own duties to different entities in this world. Just like, for example, in the construction industry also, not in the modern construction industry, but in the olden days, when temples were built, or the people when they built their homes, there was a process called Bhumi Puja, isn't it? Probably you may have heard about that. That what does Bhumi Puja means? Bhumi Puja is nothing but asking permission from Mother Earth, permission from her whether I could live there. So just to get that permission, making this offering and a sacrifice to her, that is Bhumi Puja. Nowadays what happens is, Bhumi Puja is done here, the man is in America somewhere, and from there he says that, well, you do everything for me and send me the bill, I'll send you the dakshina back. You send me the prasadam, I'll send you the dakshina back. This is what... we'll send the dakshina back. This is how it is. So what has happened here? What has happened here? Like anything else, we are saying that I'm not a part of that. You continue doing, I'll pay for it, and I'll send you the check, or I'll send you the credit card number, I'll give it to you. You can claim it from the credit card company, whoever it is. This is how it has become now. That is not a yajnam. Yajnam means this, a participation in that. That is what is presence is necessary. Aham kraduraham yajnam, sotaham aham aushadham, mandroham aham evajyam, aham agniham hudam. That Krishna is present in everything. And when Krishna is present, but I can't be present, I am so busy that I can't be present. I am busy in somewhere else, hammering something else. But I'll pay for it. I'll send you the money. And you do everything. And you send me the prasadam, I'll send you the dakshina by post. So this is what it has come to now. So it is so laughable when you see some of the things internet has created. That they can, you can do aartis on the internet, you can do so many things on the internet. But this is what Krishna is talking about. But in the next four verses you will find this. Krishna is stressing on these things. That I am that. And when you are dealing with me through that route, you have to be a part of that. You are a part of that. And that is why it is given importance to all these things. Aham kraduraham yajnam, sudaham aham aushadam, mandroham aham evajya, aham agniham hudam. Why is it spoken like that? To create that yajna bhavam, or in other words, the mood of sacrifice in us. That is why it is created like this. Krishna says, so that it becomes a part in you. You don't separate from me completely. You become a part of me. That through yajnam you can approach me. That way you will get purified and you will become advanced in spiritually also. But unfortunately in the modern world, because we haven't got that concept in our head, we just think, very often people don't have any faith in these things. But then they will do it because some relatives have told, oh, you should do that. Or sometimes it also happens that after they have built the house, if something goes wrong in the house or some problem happens in the family, somebody will tell them that, oh, this has happened only because you didn't do that at that time. So then he feels guilty. So he thinks, rather being guilty later, I'll spend some money and finish with it. He has absolutely no faith in what he is doing. So it all ends up like this. So it's all a complete... a complete mess. So aham kraduraham yajnam, sodha aham aham aushadham, mandro aham aham evajyam, aham agni aham hudam. Just like medicine. In the Ayurveda particularly it is like that. While taking medicines there are mantras to be chanted. Because who cures that once the medicine goes in, it should cure the disease? Who does that? It's Krishna who is doing that. And that we don't recognize. If I have taken the medicine, should cure. But otherwise you have to depend on paracetamol, that's all, you have no other choice. Day after day a few tablets you can throw it in. But Ayurveda, it is particularly insistent on this, that there are the verses what one should chant while taking the medicine. Because Krishna is going in the form of medicine. That's what Krishna is saying. It's me who is going in the form of medicine, and who is curing the disease inside. So all these concepts, where did this come from? This has come from Bhagavad Gita. These concepts, that how did the people in the olden days, they followed all these things. There was a time when people followed all these things. But in the modern world, all this has lost now. So that doesn't exist. But the concept is correct, because it becomes a, when things are done in that way, it becomes a yajnam. That's what Krishna says, this yajna bhavam, or this attitude of yajnam, to create that within us, all this was done in that way. Aham kraduraham yajnam, sotha aham aham aushadam, mandroham aham evajyam, aham agni aham hudam, Krishna says. Let's see what Krishna says in the next verse. Then, actually when one is taking not only medicine or doing the worship of the Mother Earth, in all different kinds of activities, actually they are all parts of Krishna. That is what it is. That you are actually accepting Krishna's presence in that, recognizing that. And that is the one way of seeing Krishna.
Pidahamasya jagato vadhadhadha pidamaha vedyam pavitram omkaram raksama ayajure vacham.
This is another interesting thing. Pidamahasya jagato vadhadhadha pidamaha vedyam pavitram omkaram raksama ayajure vacham.
Krishna says, Pida, father of the universe,
Pidamahasya madhadhadha pidamaha, mother, nurse and grandfather, everything it's me, Krishna says.
Vedyam pavitram omkaram,
pure omkaram. Omkaram means pranavam, om, also me, Krishna says. And what else?
Hriksama yajurevaja, hrigvedam yajurvedam samavedam.
All three Vedas, Krishna says, I am that. Why did Krishna say like that? All three Vedas, Krishna says, not only
Hriksama yajurevaja, rigvedam yajurvedam samavedam,
Krishna says, I am that. Why did Krishna say like that?
Reason is, through Vedas you can reach Krishna. By chanting Vedas and by chanting pranavam, om, they are both two channels to Krishna. Because if it is properly done, that is why Vedic hymns should never disappear from this world. It should always stay in this world. For this reason only it is spoken like that. That simply by chanting the Vedic Vedas in this world, Vedic mantras simply being recited, they are the sound vibration of Krishna. And when Vedic mantras are recited, Vedas are recited particularly for that matter, when Vedas are recited, it is Krishna's presence, Krishna is pleased with that. That pleases Krishna. It's recognizing Krishna in that way. Similarly, om, pranavam. That is why Krishna says like that.
Vedyam pavitram omkaram. Omkaram is pranavam or om. That is me. Krishna says, you can see me there.
Hriksama yajurevaja, rigvedam samavedam yajurvedam, I am that.
What more can Krishna say? Krishna says, by chanting them, you are actually chanting my glories. In other words, you are worshipping me through that. And through that also, you can come to me. You become, come to me. What else?
Pidamahasya jagato madhadhadha pidamaha.
Now, in Vedic system, everyone has a role. Krishna doesn't leave out anything. Everything is a part of Krishna. Krishna never says that nothing to do with me, I am separate. No, everyone is a part of Krishna. And you will see in the Vedic system how it works also effectively. Just an example, that in the Vedic system, that if father and mother, they have a very high position in the life. Now, if a son takes sannyasam, for example, if son has taken sannyasam and left home and he went away, and much later he can come back to see his parents, he is allowed to come back and see his parents, he is not allowed to come and associate with his wife, he is not allowed to see his wife anymore, but he is allowed to come back and see his parents, that is allowed. So if a sannyasi comes back home after years of establishing himself in the sannyasa ashram, if by chance father wants to see or mother wants to see and they wanted him to come and see them, he comes to see them. At that time, what is the proper behavior? What is the etiquette at that time? The etiquette is that the father has to pay his obeisances to his son, who is a sannyasi now. Isn't it? Who is a sannyasi, he has to pay his obeisances to him. The son, although he is a sannyasi, because it is his father, he has to pay his obeisances back to him. Both mutually they have to pay obeisances. This is the established norm or code of conduct, you can say like that. Now, what about the mother then? People think that, oh, in Vedic system everyone is rejected, women have no role, they have to just cook in the kitchen and offer everything, food and do service. No, it's not like that. See how glorious Vedic culture is. As far as mother is concerned, the sannyasi has to offer his obeisances to the mother. But mother doesn't have to offer obeisances to the son. That is how high she is held by the Vedic culture. And why are the people complaining that women are kept behind? Women's role in the Vedic tradition is so high, but on a spiritual level, it is higher. The sannyasi comes and pays obeisances to the father. father pays obeisances to him. Sannyasi pays his obeisances to the mother. Mother doesn't have to offer her obeisances to him. She is on a higher level. Sannyasi has come from her body. So she is, therefore he is eternally indebted to her. That is the relationship. So from these aspects, if you look at Vedic culture, you will find Vedic culture is an advanced culture. But if you look at it based on the salary what they are earning and saying they are not equal and then start comparing, then you may find Vedic culture is not very advanced based on the salary. But if you based on the culture, if you look at it, you will find it's a much more advanced culture. That's why Pidamahasya Jagato Madhadhata Pidamaha Vedyam Pavitram Omkaram Riksamaya Jurevajam. Then this Vedic system of chanting Vedic hymns and Vedic mantras, it was very, very prominent at one time, because that is a very quick process, provided one is trained properly in that system. That is why it was so important. But unfortunately, in the tide of time, all that has disappeared from this world. It has come to very, very few people have the capacity to chant the hymns properly, and also who are following it strictly as the way it is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. So that is what has happened. So because they are the mantras, the pranavam and the Vedas are the direct manifestation of Krishna. That is why it's spoken like that. Pidamahasya jagato madha dhadha pidamaha vedyam pavitram ongaram raksamaya jurevajam. Then in the next verse Krishna says, Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sashi Nivasa Sharanam Sukral Prabhava Pralayastanam Nidhanam Bijamavyayam. Then Krishna says so many things like that. Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sashi Nivasa Sharanam Sukral. I am the basis, Nivasam. I am the Sharanam, Ashrayam or shelter. I am that. Krishna says, I am the witness, who is the silent witness inside of all our activities. Sometimes we think that there is no witness for anything, so I can do anything and get away with it in this world, isn't it? Many of us think like that. But actually, Krishna has put so many witnesses in this world, and they are constantly seeing everything what is being done here. Unfortunately, we don't recognize that, so therefore we do anything what we like. But here Krishna is saying, Kadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi, that Sakshi word is that witness. It is said that in the daytime the sun is the witness, in the night time the moon is the witness. If they are not there, the stars are the witness, the clouds are even the witness sometimes. So witness is always there, our activities. Nothing goes unnoticed as we think it does. But it is not so. That's what Krishna is saying here. That the word word Sakshi has come also. Saha Akshi, iti Sakshi. That is how it says. Saha Akshi means, Akshi means eyes. Saha Akshi, his eyes are along with our eyes. It's standing there. So you will notice these words in the Purusha Suktam prayers also. Sarvadapani Badam Dal Sarvadoksha Shiromukham. That earlier Krishna says, in the one, if you remember earlier we discussed this, Krishna said, I am not anywhere. I am everything aloof from me. I am aloof from everything. And another, in Purusha Suktam, Krishna says, I have got hands everywhere, I got my legs everywhere, I got my eyes everywhere, I got my face everywhere. Sarvada pani padam dal, hands and legs are everywhere. Sarvada akshi shiro mukham, my head is everywhere, my face is everywhere, my eyes are everywhere, Krishna says. So that saha akshi iti sakshi, sakshi means witness. That sakshi, it's me, Krishna says. I am the witness. So in other words, Krishna is making us aware that I am there very much with you in everything what is going on in this creation. You may not notice me, but that's another thing. That's because you haven't got the eyes to see that. But Bhagavad Gita is very clearly telling us that my presence is my presence is very much there in everything. Now leave that side. Look at our own body. We go through the three states of existence. We discussed that, isn't it? Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. Vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. Through three states of existence, the spirit soul is moving back and forth. Now, Jagrat state, I am aware what is going on, isn't it? In the vacant state, you know what is happening. And that person who thinks, I know what is going on in the vacant states, Krishna says, I am that. At the moment, I am thinking that I know what's going on, I know what's happening, I say like this, isn't it? And who is that I? Where is that I who is saying this? Krishna says, he is a part of me. That's who is speaking like that. Okay. Then when you go to the dream state also, when you wake up from the dream, you are saying that I had a dream like this, a good or bad dream, whatever it was. When you wake up, you say that I had a dream like this. So who is that I telling you that I had this dream that time? Where is that I coming from? Krishna says, I am that. Now, more the interesting that in Sushupti state, in the deep sleep, you have gone and slept heavily, a good sleep, very deep sleep you had. You have forgotten yourself that you existed, such a deep sleep. But when you come out of that deep sleep, suddenly you are saying, I had a good sleep. So who is that I there? Who is telling you that you had a good sleep? Krishna says, I am that. So, from everywhere when you look in this creation, in through this eyes of Bhagavad Gita and Krishna statements, it is impossible to say Krishna doesn't exist. What more proof can one give that Krishna does exist in Krishna's existence in this world? In everything what goes on in this creation, it is only Krishna alone exists. That is why, if you read Prabhupada's purport on those verses, you will find what Krishna says, Prabhupada says about that. He says there, verse 17, chapter 9, verse 17. Pidahamasya jagado madhadhara pidamaha vedyam pavitra omkaram riksama yajurevajam. Translation, I am the father of the universe, the mother, the support and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, purifier and the syllable om. I am also the rik, the sama and the yajur. That's just the translation. But if you go in the purport a few lines down, you will see there that we create different relationships with different living entities who are nothing but Krishna's marginal energy. But under the creation of Prakriti, some of them appear as our father, mother, grandfather, creator, etc. But actually, they are part and parcels of Krishna. As such, Prabhupada says, as such, these living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc. are nothing but Krishna. In this verse, the word dadha means creator. Not only are our father and mother parts and parcels of Krishna, but their creator, grandmother and grandfather, etc. are also Krishna. Actually, any living entity being part and parcel of Krishna is Krishna. All the Vedas therefore aim only toward Krishna. So this is the vastness of Krishna. Krishna is not something what we see in the deity room or in the deity form. Krishna's existence is so vast that nothing exists except Krishna. This is what the point is there. Whatever we want to know through the Vedas is but a progressive step to understand Krishna. That subject matter which helps us purify our constitutional position is especially Krishna. Similarly, the living entity who is inquisitive to understand all Vedic principles is also part and parcel of Krishna and as such is also Krishna. In all the Vedic mantras, the word Om called Pranavam is a transcendental sound vibration and is also Krishna. And because in all the hymns of the four Vedas, Samam, Yajur, Rik and Atharva, the Pranavam and Omkaram is very prominent, it is understood to be Krishna. So you can see, this is what that meant. Otherwise, if you read that verse and think that Krishna is saying that everything is me, so what am I? If you ask that question, it doesn't mean anything. This is what it means. That everything is Krishna, including us also. We have that relationship with Krishna. And very much we have a close relationship with Krishna. But so long as we don't recognize it, we won't understand it. We will think that so many different mental concoctions will come from that. But through the ninth chapter, Raja Yogam, if you understand Krishna, it is not possible to separate anything in this world from Krishna. Everything as Krishna puts it in different way in Vibhuti Yogam, is just preparing us for the next chapter actually. That's what he's doing. Because in the next chapter, Krishna will say something much more amazing than these things. Now Krishna is through Yajnam, he is connecting us with him. He is connecting us to Krishna through the sacrifices and Yajnam and all the other material elements. But in the next chapter, Krishna will connect it to us in a different way there as well through Vibhuti. And that is when Arjuna was amazed to see what Krishna means. So then that
So, Pita Samahasthyam Jagato Mata Dada Pinamaha Vedyam Pavitra Vangaram Vaksame Chirevaja Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhal Prabho Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. Then, then suppose sometimes children playing around with different things, toys, and they get great fun from that, isn't it? Children are playing, they get a lot of fun from that. Krishna is saying when they are making that fun, the child I am that, and the toy I am that, and the fun is also me. In everything is my presence, that's what makes it live. Otherwise there is no fun in any of these things. For example, when someone is enjoying something in this world, everyone is after happiness in this world, isn't it? People are after happiness. But only thing is, we search for this happiness in the wrong way. We search for the happiness in the wrong way. Our happiness goes in, the person who goes to the pub to drink, he's also looking for happiness. Only thing is, because he has no knowledge how to look for happiness and where to find happiness, ultimately what he is searching is happiness. Just like the conditioned soul, the living entity is also searching for happiness. But they are searching on two different planes. They are searching on two different planes. Somebody who is smoking cigarette, he's also burning this all the time. Why? He wants some happiness inside. Only thing is, he is torturing the body to get that happiness, thinking that that will give him happiness. Out of ignorance, he is doing that. Similarly, the person who takes alcohol, he is also thinking that by making me intoxicated and making me completely unconscious in that way, I will get some happiness. So, he is also looking for happiness, but on a wrong platform. That's all what it is. We are also, devotees are also looking for happiness. That's what they want at the end. So, Krishna is pointing out one important thing here. He says here that wherever you are looking for happiness, take it from me that you are looking for me. You are looking for me because it is me who is actually happiness. Happiness is not the exact word for that. The Shastric word is Anandam. Anandam means the spiritual happiness. That is Anandam. So Anandam, Krishna says, is what you are looking for. You want that. And that is me. Krishna says, I am that. So in other words, you are looking for me, but because you do not know the process, you go through all the wrong processes. And think this also, what else has got a living entity to look forward to? What else can he do in this world? He has no other choice and he is helpless. It is only the ignorant person who has no understanding of Krishna's control on us or Krishna's authority search for happiness elsewhere. Just like they have different processes of searching for happiness. For example, scientists are searching for happiness through their research work. They are thinking that they will find happiness in the matter. But Krishna is saying there, no, happiness is in me. I am happiness. And Krishna's energy is happiness. That Anandam is Krishna's energy. So if you are searching for that, this is the processes you search for, not by any other process. All other processes will eventually end up in frustration and disaster, unhappiness. Like in the case of a smoker, or in the case of an alcohol drinker, in a similar way, all the other processes also will fail, because Krishna says, this is the process to search for me, because I am happiness. Pidamahasya jagado madha dhada pidamaha vedyam pavitram ongaram raksama yajurevaja gadar bharta prabhu sakshi nivasa sharanam soharul. Krishna says, prabhava pralayasthanam nidhanam bijam avyayam. The origin of everything is from me and eventually everything comes back to me. And I am the seed of everything. From everything has come out from me. So, is there any get out clause there? In any of these things? Can you imagine any get out clause there? If somebody says, I am independent, when Krishna says, this is what I am, if somebody says, I am independent, it just doesn't work together, because there is no get out clause there in that. Krishna's agreement is so precise, and Krishna says, all these things are me, and from me comes all these things, and it is better. That is why Krishna says, go along with the flow, don't try to flow against it. Evam pravartidam chakram nanu vartayadihaya aghayurindriyaramo mogham partha sajivadi.
that when one does not follow this route I have shown, and he tries to act independently, driven by his mind, then he is only inviting a disaster, Krishna says there. In the third chapter, Krishna spoke about karmam. While talking about karmam, Krishna says like this, Aghayu indriya ramo, because senses are being satisfied, moham partha sajivadi. Arjuna, they are only inviting trouble for themselves because they have no freedom to do what they want anyway. Such complete control on everything from Krishna's side. And we, in our ignorance, we declare independence and we think that, prove it to me that Krishna exists. Prove it to me where he is. Prove it to me when he is going to do, what he is going to do. When I see, I'll believe it. He said, this kind of statements, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. Bhagavad Gita is very straight about this, that this is what Krishna's position is.
Tapamyahamaham varsham nigranamul srajami ja amadam jaiva mrityuscha sadasaccha aham Arjuna.
Arjuna, tapamyahamaham varsham nigranamul srajami ja. When the water from the sea evaporates under heat, it's me who is doing that, Krishna says. I am doing that.
Tapamyahamaham varsham.
And then it goes in the form of clouds. And who carry the clouds? I carry the clouds. And when the clouds pour water and the form of rain, I do that. I control that, Krishna says.
Tapamyahamaham varsham nigranami ulsajami ja.
Then, amritam jaiva mrityuscha sadasaccha aham Arjuna. Krishna says there, that, that everything in all these aspects, I have complete control on it. Can any of us control any of these things? With all our so-called technology and science. The whole, as soon as there is a shortage of rain, immediately Southwest Waters impose the hose pipe band in Kent and so many places. But this is our position, that Krishna is controlling them.
Tapamyahamaham varsham nigranami ulsajami ja amrutashaiva mrityuscha sadasaccha aham Arjuna.
Arjuna, everything is under my complete control. No one has any freedom to step out of it. So all this is spoken only to tell us that if you please Krishna by your activities, by our activities, if you please Krishna, our survival in this world becomes easier. But if you upset Krishna by your activities, survival also will become very difficult. For example, the unit is one, and it is one unit which is manifesting in different forms. For example, I'll tell you one example, that you may wonder that the people say that I have to bathe in Ganga River. For example, just say you have to bathe in Ganga River. It is this water in the Ganga River that evaporates and becomes the form of clouds and comes down in the form of water to this earth. Or similarly many other holy rivers. So in other words, a person who is properly situated in Krishna consciousness, he can bathe when, he will know when Ganga water is coming as a cloud here, and he can bathe here in that water and have the same benefit of bathing in Ganga. To such an extent, Krishna says here, that I am in everything present, all time. Sadasaccha aham Arjuna, that Trividyamam somavam bhutavaba yajnyairishtva somrgadim parthayande Divideva Bhogan. Now Krishna talks about those who are participating in performing sacrifices. Trividyamam somava pudavavam. That Trividya. Trividya means three Vedas. Samam and Yajurvedas. And those who are performing those sacrifices, they are called Karma Yogis. They are also referred to as Agnihotris. Agnihotris means constantly the fire is burning in their home and they are always pouring the havis into the fire and chanting the Vedic hymns, and that way that fire going. And that is the Agnihotri's responsibility. Trividyamam somava pudavava somalata. That is those who drink the somarasam from the sacrifices. It's a lata, a leaf that's been ground, and from that the juice is drunk in the sacrifice. When it is drunk, the result of all that is one gets an opportunity to go into the heavenly planets. That is the benefit from that. That is what the Yajnam, Karmakandam is talking about this very detail in the Vedic literature. Yajnirishtva sorgadim prathayande. And their prayers are also such that they want to go to the heavenly planets. So they get that opportunity to go to the heavenly planets. Then, te punyam asadya surindra logam. By their performing these sacrifices, they acquire so much punyam or pious activities. They get the result from that. Te punyam asadyam surindra logam. The maximum they can reach is Indra Lokam, Indra's planet. They can become Indra there. Ashnandi divyan divideva bhogan. They will stay there and enjoy that very, very, very high standard of sense enjoyment, what's available in the heavenly planets. That can, one can get there. Krishna says by that process. Trividyamam soma bhapuda bhavam yajnyerishtvam sukhadim prarthayande te punyam asadya surendra logam asnandi divyan divideva bhogan. So this is what Vedic Shastras are saying, that through this process of karmakandam, karma, when it is properly executed, one gets an opportunity to go to these heavenly planets and engage in the activities there, in the higher states of sense gratification. And in the next verse, Krishna says, Tedam bhuktva surgalogam vishalam kshine punye martilogam vishandi evam trayi dharmam anupravanyam gadagadam kama kama anlebhandem. So then what happens to such a person? Tedam bhuktva surgalogam vishalam kshine punye martilogam vishandi. That if a person gets to that surgalogam or heavenly planets, eventually he has to come back. He cannot stay there. Not permanently. As long as you have your credit card with all the pious activities you have performed, and if that balance is very high, you can stay for a longer time. If not, you have to come back. You are not allowed to stay there. So, but the problem is this, that kshine punye martyalokam vishandi. When punyam is over there, come back here again. Isn't it? When the punyam is finished there, you have to come back here. So, just like sometimes someone from the village, he was living in the village peacefully. And from the village, suddenly some people told him that, what is this village life? Useless. There's nothing here. Morning to night working in the field, looking at the trees and plants. Look at the city, how they are enjoying life there. This is how it starts. And then he has been told, if you go to the city, you just have to work 8 hours. And that too, you know, it's so enjoyable that you can get away with it, and at the end of the month you get a salary, you don't have to struggle. Whereas here you are totally dependent on the sale of the food what you have created, and also you are not sure about it because depends on the rain, depends on the sun and so many things. So slowly the village man was inspired to go to the city. When he went to the city, somehow he managed to earn some money there. A lot of money he earned in that way. When he earned the money, he shifted his accommodation. He wanted to enjoy some time. The desire has increased inside. So he was told that if you stay in a 5-star hotel in the city, you know, there's so many facilities, go and enjoy all that. Maybe it costs money, but so what? It's coming anyway, so let me enjoy it. So he goes into this 5-star hotel and he stays there for some time and enjoys all the opulences in that 5-star hotel. No poverty, everything is in abundance. People there to listen to you when you tell them to do anything. And then all the hundreds of channels on the television. And then enough to eat, enough to drink, and all kinds of other sinful activities also, what one wants to have. Everything is offer and everything. So he's thinking that this is not a bad life. He gets to this conception. And then suddenly you bring him back to his poor old village where he came from. He has no taste for that. He's finding it very difficult to adjust with the village life, isn't it? He'll find, earlier he had no difficulty. He used to walk barefooted everywhere. Now he wants everything that he feels the heat, feels the cold, and all kinds of inconveniences he is feeling now when he came back to the village. But when he was in the 5-star hotel, that experience has created this problem for him when he had come back. So similarly, Krishna is saying here, once you go to the heavenly planets and enjoy there, that very high standard of sense enjoyment, when you are leaving that place, these thoughts will come back to you, where you have to go back, and that will disturb you also. That I have to go back to the world where I came from, and I have to start again living there, going through the another womb of another mother, and then 10 months there, and after that growing up, don't know where, in which part of the world, goes through this whole education system for 10, 15 years, and then after that look for a job, get the salary, mortgage, married life, divorce, this, that, one thing or the other. Continuous miseries will follow one after the other. So, but the Krishna is saying here that that happiness is like this. The happiness in this heavenly planet is more or less like this. That you come back, you go to a 5-star, enjoy, come back. Another 5-star, come back. 5-star, come back. This is all what it is all about. Krishna says like that in that verse. And now Krishna will move on to something else. We'll discuss it next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.